Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on WEEI into the 11 o'clock hour here on Sunday, June the 8th, 2025. Dan Ball with you. Got my man Jacob Lasner back behind the glass. Thanks for spending some time with us here on this Sunday. We got Red Sox baseball tonight. Normally it's, you know, 1:35 pregame with my man Joe Wild. No. It's Sunday night baseball tonight. Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, two powerhouses of the American League going at it here tonight. But it is a rubber game, so we'll have talk coverage all the way throughout the day. I'm taking you up until 1 o'clock. And then you got Travis Thomas, the Travis Thomas Experience, which is one of my favorite listens on the station, coming up from 1 until 4 this afternoon. Joe Weil will take you for about an hour or so in the 5 o'clock hour, and that will get you into pregame coverage. He has you covered on the pregame as well, leading into Red Sox baseball. Let's pivot away from the Red Sox, because I've complained and moved my blood pressure up enough with this team. Let's move to the Patriots. And what a commentary it is that a team that had 4 wins last season is the biggest reason for hope in Boston sports right now. I would imagine if you're more hopeful about another one of the 3 teams other than the Patriots, who again do not play until September, then feel free to let me know. But the large majority that I've seen and interacted with are going, well, at least we have the Patriots. And what a departure that sentence is from where we were in January, when at the conclusion of the season, you win a game that was probably the most poorly received win in franchise history. I said that with a question mark at the end, because you move from 3-13 to then 4-13, and you move out of the catbird seat for the number one overall selection in a draft that was extremely thin at the top. So the difference between 1-4 last year when you were picking third was not negligible, but you could still do a lot with that number 4 pick. You essentially, assuming everything went the way that it did, you had your pick of the litter. If you're in that Cardinals spot a couple of years ago, you have 3 generational receivers from which you can choose, or at least 2. And you also have Joe Alt, Brock Bauer. Like, there were a litany of stars that you could choose from last year. This year, not the same. At the time, it was Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders for that number one spot. Remember that? Oh, how far he has fallen. So you knew that moving from the number one spot to the number 4 spot was extremely significant. And questions remain for about 24 hours, if that, about Gerard Mayo before you made that decision. So your heir apparent to Bill Belichick had gone through an embarrassing year, an embarrassing last 4 games after the bye week, and had just been fired. So now you are, after the end of the Belichick regime, starting over again. No head coach, a front office with many more questions than answers, and a disadvantageous draft spot, like a just a bad spot to be in. That's where we were in January. Now we're here in June, and we have people who know a lot about football and about this team picking 9, 10, 13 wins for a 4-13 team last year. So when I say and ask the question at 617-779-7937, how satisfied are you with this offseason to this point for the Patriots? I don't think you'll find a single person who goes, this has been a net negative. I don't think you'll find a single person who says, this was just, you broke even. Even, say, for the group that wanted Ben Johnson or a different head coaching candidate as opposed to who you have now with Mike Vrabel, I don't think anybody was disappointed with Vrabel. There was a group that said, well, you're not changing anything by hiring Vrabel. You're hiring from within the Patriots alumni group. If you're trying to modernize and get away from the quote-unquote Patriot way and try to finally, you know, flip the script from the Belichick-Brady era, Vrabel's not helping you do that. There was a group that said that, but you weren't in a position to just completely, you know, flip the franchise over and become the Rams or the Lions or another one of these teams with this, you know, extremely forward-thinking, offense-heavy. You weren't in a position to do any of that. So hiring Vrabel did one thing right off the bat. Before you get to the X's and O's, before you get to how do guys respond to his attitude and the, you know, the fact that he is a bit of a hard-o and brings a very significant coaching style to the table, you knew that you were bringing in a guy who, if nothing else, has a culture that he brings with him, has a sense of accountability with him, has all of the intangibles of a coach that you were missing with Gerard Mayo. So you knew, if nothing else, you had that. So that was one. Then you get into the offseason. You spend more than any team in football. You go heavy on free agency on the defensive side of the football, and you have a pretty clear strategy that ends up being kind of shown as you go through the offseason. You're going to go heavy on the defensive side of the ball in free agency, and then you'll go more offensive in the draft, especially the first few rounds. You'll get your draft talent on the offensive side of the ball, and if nothing else, you'll have a very Vrabel-esque team where you're going to be a pain in the ass to play against on defense. And if he can just tread water on offense, you'll have a chance to win football games. You add on every single level on the defense side of the football in free agency. And you are lauded for having one of the best free agencies of any team in football. You had the most money to spend, and according to most, you spent it relatively wisely. Then you get to the draft. You execute that plan on offense. Will Campbell, Kyle Williams, Travion Henderson, among others. You add everywhere on the offensive side of the football. Even at a center. Really curious about Wilson. How much of a role he does or does not play on this offense. I think there's a chance that he could be, depending on Garrett Bradbury, be starting games on this team when all is said and done. But we'll see. Maybe that's a bit too far in the future and a bit too wishful of thinking here on this beautiful Sunday. So add on defense and free agency, add on offense in the draft. Get through OTAs. And it was during OTAs where I think the optimism started to waver for the first time this offseason. Because everything that we had seen to this point was simply on paper. On paper, when you look at I go to a website called rlads.com. It's a fantasy football website. They have depth charts for both professional and college football. Tremendous football resource. They color code all of the different additions, subtractions, whatever that you had on your roster. And they painted with all colors of the rainbow for the Patriots depth chart. Free agents, undrafted free agents, draft picks, all this kind of stuff. There are different additions in pretty much every slot on your depth chart, maybe other than like tight end, that you had at certain points this offseason. So you've changed a ton in a short amount of time. And you've also installed a coaching staff that's pretty unique and diverse. You have former head coaches, McDaniels, Doug Marrone among them, And then you have some younger guys, Ashton Grant, guys that come from a much different area of thinking in football than some of your more, you know, hardened football veterans. And you already have a continuity where you have veteran coaches that have worked with Mike Vrabel and worked with Josh McDaniels and know the kind of system that is going to be played, know the culture, all these other cliches that I'll throw out every time we talk about this Patriots group. Again, on paper, all good. Then we get to OTAs, and I wouldn't say the foundation cracks, but you definitely get a pretty heavy dose of reality pretty quickly. No Carlton Davis until the final day of OTAs. Stephon Diggs, don't know if you heard, he was on a boat with a bag of something. Could have been anything. Right, Jacob?
Oh, yeah.
Could have been anything. It was like the stuff that you get in pixie sticks. That kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that was the alarm that was being sounded amongst Patriots fans. Just happened to sound like the horn of a boat. So you have Diggs's the injury leading into him not being at OTAs and the viral video and then the come to Jesus meeting that it seemed like he had with the coaching staff, the confusion over whether or not he passed his physical, and him just not being a factor yet. Carlton Davis not there. And then you have the confusion around, well, is Drake May actually performing well or is he not? Because when reporters were there, he threw four picks. But when reporters weren't there, he was, quote unquote, turnover free. The general consensus in the week that followed was that he was improving, that he was getting better. So at least for the time being, you're willing to believe, well, maybe it was a factor of the offense being installed. You don't have Diggs there. You have a couple new wide receivers that are in your midst. So he was relying very heavily on Hunter Henry and seemed to make fast friends with Efton Chisholm, who we'll talk about next. So you have some mixed reporting about Drake May, no number one wide receiver, couple other absences, and some mixed reporting and not great reviews on the performance of the offensive line. So your defense, for the most part, as it was filled with veterans this offseason, has been performing up to par. Your offense, in all of the youth and inexperience and all of those new pieces for Josh McDaniels and company to try to put together, has performed like an offense that's never played together before, plain and simple. But I think even with some of those negatives that have come from camp so far, you still have a renewed sense of optimism. I think when you put all of those pieces together, you still have a fan base that feels a lot better today than they did in January. I think that's almost a guarantee. But I know that it does not sit great in the collective stomachs of Patriots fans that the first time that we got to see this team on the field is the first time that that optimism really had to waver. So by and large, to this point, to minicamp, before you kind of take that summer breather, before you really get set for training camp and the rubber really meets the road, it's been a tremendous net positive. I believe of the teams that were ranked with the best chances to go from worst to first, the Patriots were third. It was an ESPN publication. It was the Niners, who you almost forget finished last, and then the Bears, and then the Patriots. The Patriots will have the Bills in their way. And I don't think there's a lot of people that are calling for the Patriots to win the division, but there's a pretty loud group in the fan base. And I would say just among football fans and national football pundits that will be eyeing the Patriots to compete for a wild card spot. And I think that's great. I think that's a win in and of itself. To go from where we were in the beginning of January, the Joe Milton-led Patriots win the final game of the season, costing you the number one overall pick. Your heir apparent to the throne gets fired, and you are now rudderless at a level that you have not been before, at least in this era of Patriots football. To where we are now, I think a lot of fans would certainly take that. Before we get to Jacob's trending, let's get to our guy, Steve in Fall River. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. What do you got?
I'm going to use this analogy. I've used it before. Pond scum. You walk up to this. This is for the Patriots.
Okay.
You walk up to a pond. You say, wow, it's really dirty. Then you put a beaker in and you get like a core sample. And you pull it out and the bottom is mud. And then it's a little better than it's dirty water. That's where the Patriots are.
Okay.
Just because they're not mud at the bottom, they're not going to the top. To even mention that they could overtake the Buffalo Bills tells you there's some level of absurdity here.
Sure.
I hope you agree with that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And as a matter of fact, that might be something in that pond scum that might be like hallucinogenics. The Red Sox are clearly the team with the most upside because they have actually players. Who is our Roman Anthony on the Patriots? Or Roman, whatever his name is. Where's our player like that? We don't have that. We don't have players that have bona fide skills that we know are going to improve. We have this. What's the kid's name? The wide receiver begins with an E. You said he's got some.
Oh, Efton Chisholm. Yeah.
There you go. You got Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayen. You got what's his name again?
Efton Chisholm.
I could hang up right now, and you have to let that set in. This is a problem in Patriot Nation. We're out of our mind. I'm going to give you one more analogy because people need it.
Yep.
You've got a streetscape. You've got the gutter. The Patriots were below the gutter. They were in the sewer last year.
No question.
Yep. Half of the team is in the gutter. The other half blew up onto the street. There's a 60-foot building next to where you blew up out of the street. On the top floor is the Buffalo Bills. 60 stories up from you. And the Miami Dolphins are on the 30th floor. Maybe they can go up or not fall back down if their quarterback doesn't get hurt. And the Jets are on the 10th floor and could probably go to the 30th floor if they get some decent quarterback play. And you might blow up and get into the elevator shaft. I mean, people got to be – they're the third best to take the division?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the call, Steve. Nobody knows how to set in reality better than Steve. They are the third best to go from worst to first. So you're looking at all of the last place teams in your respective divisions to go to first in their respective division. There is a lot of bluster about the Patriots right now. There is. I mean, you have a large group of people that are saying 10 wins is almost the standard, and anything less is a failure. And anything more is gravy, but 10 wins is where they sit. I think that's crazy. But, I mean, I also wouldn't say that you're that far off. I feel like a 7-8 win season is realistic and should be fine because it's a significant step forward. I also would need to see, okay, so how are you losing these games? Because there were plenty of games last year where you knew you weren't in it. And so if you're going to be a 7-win team, well, what are those other 10 games look like? Are you competitive? Are you losing by a score? Is Drake May throwing the ball all over the place? Are you turning it over again? Does Ramondre Stevenson have butter on his hands for a second straight season? How are we losing these games? And also, what does it look like come January of 2026 versus September of 2025? Because last year, you didn't really progress, would be my argument. In fact, you regressed. You won that first game of the season and then really did a whole bunch of nothing, and then Joe Milton won a game against second stringers. So you really didn't progress. Your culture didn't progress. Your players didn't progress. You kind of just were, and you were really bad. Let's go into that on the other side. More optimism, Patriots or Red Sox? Because there's players and then there's staff and there's philosophy. And I think there are a lot of different elements that are interesting to compare between those two groups as the Celtics and the Bruins continue to metaphorically skate in this conversation. We'll do all of that after Jacob Lasner gets you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Caught up on what's trending. Back here on WEEI, the question in conversation that we are exploring. A bit extemporaneously, but we're going to do it anyways. Optimism. What a concept. Between Patriots fans and Red Sox fans, and those two franchises, of the two, where they stand right now, which one do you feel better about? So let's break it down a little bit. First of all, to your front office staff, the Red Sox with Craig Breslow, and their army of computers that are behind him versus the Vrabel, Wolf, Cowden, Grow conglomerate, law firm, if you will. Everything under the Kraft group. So you have one and his analytics that's currently, you know, we're seeing the fruits of that versus another in a group that, while we've seen what they've done, we don't know how that group meshes together. We don't have any results to base it off of. I would posit that when this group was assembled in the early months of 2025, I feel like, let's say before free agency, so end of the season, mid-February, right as the Red Sox are getting into spring training and right as the, you know, the Super Bowl is concluding, I think you would have given the edge to the Red Sox. That would be my guess. Based on the trade for Crochet, the signing of Alex Bregman, the development of the youth, and the general direction and optimism around the franchise, I think you would have given the edge to the front office of the Red Sox at that point. Because we didn't have anything to base it off of right now. What we had for the Patriots at that point were a bunch of pieces that you weren't really sure how they were going to coexist. Because you weren't really sure who had final say. Is it Vrabel's show? And Elliot Wolf is just going and fetching coffees for him and his boys? Or is there going to be a legitimate working relationship between all of these different parts? And I think what we've seen to this point is that so far, it's actually a pretty successful working relationship. I think the results right now that we have with the Patriots, we can only really tell what the front office has done. We don't really know how all of this plays out on the field. And I think all the results of this front office have been pretty positive. You can't really poke a hole in a lot of what's been done. Obviously, this team is still short a number one wide receiver. You're going to have to prove to number one wide receivers across the league that you are a destination. And a lot of that has to do with the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, and those two haven't had the chance to work together for a single snap of meaningful football. So for what you were able to control, which is your signings on defense and what you did in the draft, I think that the Patriots front office has garnered a lot more trust and optimism from their respective fan base than the Red Sox front office, which has just spent the last couple of months getting battered and bruised, and deservedly so, for the lack of depth at critical spots on this roster and the questionable decision-making when it comes to the prospects and the future of the team and the handling of the Devers situation. I think the Devers situation alone is enough of an indictment to knock the Red Sox front office below the Patriots for the time being. So as we currently sit here today, I'd give that to the Patriots. Coaching staff-wise, again, right now, we don't know how all of these parts work together for the Patriots. And we know far too much about how things are going for the Red Sox. We know that Alex Cora is spent the entire year hearing it from the fan base. And I don't think he's at a particularly good year. That's outside of the comments to the media and the, you know, insistence that they're a good baseball team. Just X's and O's, in-game decisions. The amount of control over which we don't really know. We don't know how much is game script, and we don't know how much is scripted by the front office, how much has to do strictly with analytics, the decisions to pinch hit, when to go to the bullpen, who to call out of the bullpen, the deployment of the lineup, those kind of things. We're not entirely sure, but of the decisions that are usually made by a manager, I think he would even say that he hasn't had his best year. So let's go to your offensive and defensive coordinators and the equivalent to which the Red Sox have, which is your pitching coach and your hitting coach. Pitching coach has had a very rough year in terms of the philosophy. And I think your hitting coach, while the numbers are inflated, you are a top 10 team in baseball in batting average, and you've scored a lot of runs, and you've also struck out, I don't know, 30 more times with runners in scoring position than the next closest team. You have had these boom or bust games and Tom Caron put out the number a couple weeks ago, wherein, you know, you had scored a third of your runs in 15 games or something like that. You know, you have your Orioles game. You have the Orioles game where they scored 18, 19 runs. That St. Louis game, the Sunday night baseball game that Hunter Dobbins started. You have these games where you look like a world beater, and then you go through a week where you average 2 runs. So you're wildly inconsistent, strike out a ton, and I just don't know if the philosophy of the organization match with the players that you actually have in your lineup. So coaching staff-wise, you bring back a former Patriot who is a former head coach in the league, very good coaching resume that he's establishing, an offensive coordinator that, though he's only had success in New England, he's had a lot of success in New England, and a defensive coordinator in Terrell Williams, who we have legitimately no sample size of because he's been away from the group, but you kind of have to assume it's going to be the Vrabel and Williams collaboration, and you kind of have Josh McDaniels on his own island as the quote-unquote head coach of the offense. So optimism-wise, because that's what this conversation is about, optimism-wise, front office, I think it goes to the Patriots. Coaching staff right now, I think it goes to the Patriots. Again, these are two teams that are playing in different seasons. We have no reason not to be optimistic about the Patriots. And we have every reason not to be optimistic or not optimistic about the Red Sox. Now, the point that was brought up by Steve in his previous call about how there is no There is no Roman Anthony for the Patriots. There's no guy that hasn't made his debut but is unequivocally the best prospect, the number one overall, this, that, the other thing. I will give you that. But I'll also posit that I don't know if there's a Drake May equivalent on the Red Sox. A guy who had a strong rookie showing and seems to have the potential to be a very good, if not elite, player. Now, potential and reality are two very different things, and the jury is still very much out on Drake May, but who is that guy that we actually have the major league sample size for 1 year? Rafaela? I would argue, doesn't have the ceiling of Drake May. Abreu? Eh. 258 career hitter. Fine. Good. Fine. While the jury is still out, I think it's undeniable that some of the physical characteristics of May are endlessly exciting and intriguing. If he gets into the right system, you get the right wide receivers around him, offensive line shores up, all those kind of things. The intangibles, or even the tangibles, the tangible skill set seems like it's there. So while I agree that there is no Roman Anthony of the Patriots, there is no guy that, though we haven't seen him at the professional level, it's undeniable the talent and the skill that's there. Kyle Williams, exciting. Efton Chisholm, apparently more exciting than we might have thought when they signed him. Trevian Henderson, garnering a lot of excitement, but still not slated, according to the reporting that you read. And, you know, mailbags out today from Mike Reese and Andrew Callahan, both of which are worth a read if you have a spare moment. Not even saying that Trevian Henderson is going to be the starting running back when this team breaks camp. It's still Ramondre Stevenson's job. So while I am excited and optimistic about Anthony and Meyer and Campbell, I am also very wary of the system that they are graduating into and this team's ability to develop them. The veterans that you have on both sides. Rafael Devers, one of the best hitters on the planet, but not a leader, and vocally so. Does not really want to be a leader or the face of the franchise. He wants to go out there, swing the bat, then go back to the dugout and wait for his next time to go up and swing the bat. Trevor Story, we've litigated that one a million and one times. I don't need to do it again. Rob Refsnyder, fourth outfielder. The veterans that you've added onto the Patriots roster on defense, as of right now, seem to have more of the ability to be leaders and impact players and the kind of pillars that you want around your young players. The one departure from that, I guess you could kind of draw the comparison in a certain sense between Devers and Stephon Diggs, where they both at certain points make you want to tear your hair out. So you could poke holes in both of those guys. Again, otherworldly talented, one a little bit further along and you know, on the back nine of his career versus Devers, who seems like he's really honestly only getting started as a full-time DH. So comparing apples to apples as much as possible, because this is a very difficult comparison to make in June when we have no idea how all of these pieces are going to fit together for the Patriots when you actually play legitimate NFL competition in the regular season. But while I think in February you would have said the optimism is completely on the side of the Boston Red Sox, you had people picking them to go to win the division and make the playoffs, and maybe they'll be in the ALCS. It's going to be them against the Rangers, or it's going to be the renewal of the Red Sox and Yankees rivalry for the power in the American League. All of that positivity, which was justified, though overblown, justified based on some of the moves that were made in the offseason. I think positivity was warranted. You had finally done things to show that you were a serious franchise in a way that you had not done in past years. I think the Red Sox have spent the time from February to June failing to live up to that optimism, while I think the Patriots have spent February to June garnering that optimism. So while unequivocally in February, I would have said, oh, there's more optimism around the Patriots. By the way, both of those teams would have paled in comparison to the optimism around the Celtics at that point. Now you have your two TD Garden tenants that are both in very odd spots and are not making their fans feel overly optimistic. You have the Red Sox, who are losing optimism from their fan base by the day, if there's any left. That's why you have fans looking at the Patriots and going, well, they're at least adding. Because the bar was so low, I am optimistic that they're going to be better than I thought they were going to be in days, weeks, months past. So that's where that conversation comes from. Hey, maybe Roman Anthony really will be the thing that changes my tune once again and gets us all back on the bandwagon of the Red Sox. I just don't know if that's going to happen. 617-779-7937. You could join the conversation if you'd like. We're talking optimism. We're trying to spread some optimism, even though a certain team that plays at Fenway Park is not necessarily garnering it. We'll continue that conversation and get you set for Patriots mandatory minicamp. Again, don't forget, Jacob teed it up, but we'll have coverage of minicamp all week. The afternoon crew is going to be out at Gillette from 2 to 6 tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned for all of that, and we'll get you set up for what we're expecting and hoping for the next 3 days of Patriots football.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do that next. To continue our conversation about optimism in Boston sports, something we're all looking for. A note from the 978 on the text line. By the way, you can join in on the text line as well as on the phone, 617-779-7937. Crochet is that guy when comparing the sophomore jump that the Patriots have in Drake May that at the moment I was saying that the Red Sox did not have. And that's a very fair point. Now, the one thing that I can't exactly – all of this is an apples and oranges comparison. The one thing that I do have to add is that you only see Crochet every fifth day. So as much as I do agree that he is that guy, he is the already in the big leagues, but taking the next jump, elite potential, high ceiling that some could argue that Drake May has, you are only seeing that once every 5 days. So it doesn't carry as much weight, but if you are looking for that already in the big leagues established guy that gives you hope, Crochet is certainly that guy. So that point is well taken, and I appreciate the addition. On the text line, you can jump in at any point. Let's go back to the phones here. Ted is in Florida. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Oh, fine, Dan. So I've been a longtime Red Sox fan, but here in Miami, I can't go for the Marlins because of the way they handle their front office and the way they handle their fans. But anyway, I wanted to get to this question about the Red Sox for the last 3 years have had the worst record for errors defense, and yet nobody's really talking about the fact that they keep moving players around. So what do they expect? I mean, the simple one was remembering what they did with Rafael, putting him in center field, putting him in shortstop. I mean, so why is this not being talked about more? That this, I like the philosophy of having a lot of different options for your players, but then expect you're not going to get good defense. And of course, part of it is because of Rafael at third base. Devers was never a great third baseman. He seemed to be getting better, but then last year, I guess he was hurt, and that contributed to the bad defense. But I think just the moving around the players, it's a nice idea, but expect that you're going to get errors.
Ted, thank you for the call. It's a great point. It's one of the most confounding things that comes from this team's commitment to the youth movement, the trying to, you know, promote from within, and the small market approach to developing prospects versus the big market approach to signing players to play certain positions. The Rafaela deployment in the last now 2.5 seasons that he's been in the big leagues is wild. He's played second base, shortstop, third base, center field, and hit in all 9 positions in the batting order at least once in his career. And I think it was Friday during that debacle that we saw Rafaela at second base. Now, he went from center field to second base back to center field. And you're going to look at me, and if you're on the Red Sox coaching staff and in the front office, and go, that kind of path is good for a player. You go from outfield to infield to outfield. If you're a second or third year player, if you're Christian Campbell, you're doing it as a rookie. He has started games in the infield, gone to the outfield, and vice versa this season. So Ted brings up a great point, because you want these guys to try, you want all of your players to try to build confidence throughout a season, right? It's a 162 game season plus playoffs plus spring training. That's a long time. And there are no breaks. If you have a bad game on any given Sunday, you get at worst 3 days until Thursday night football to make it better. At best, you get 8 days to try to just sit in it, get back to the practice field, review the tape, and get back at it. If Christian Campbell goes 0 for 4 and makes an error and, you know, trips over himself trying to field the ground ball and goes one way to try to cover a steal, then goes back the other way to try to field the ground ball like he did yesterday, you don't get a couple days to sit there and work on it and get back to, you know, go back to your foundational elements, go back to fundamentals, take ground balls, watch the film. No, you're back at it tomorrow. So to have Rafaela play 4 or 5 different positions and hit everywhere in the batting order, to have Christian Campbell play second, center, and left while also taking grounders at first and hit anywhere from 4th to 9th in the batting order, to have even Roman Anthony in AAA playing all 3 outfield positions, with fans calling for him to play first, which I thought was pretty funny. And Marcelo Meyer being your shortstop of the future, playing third base, but also can't play against lefties. And Willy Abreu only playing against righties. Rob Refsnyder only against lefties, hitting third. Unless your name is Jaron Duran or Rafael Devers, You do not know when your eyes open in the morning and you're ready to take the day on where you're going to be playing or where you're going to be hitting. You don't know. And that goes back to, in my opinion, the difference between philosophies from Alex Cora to Craig Breslow. Because if you're moving players around that freely, where it doesn't really matter where they play, doesn't really matter where they hit in the order game to game, you're just deploying it based on feel, based on matchup, and based on just the day-to-day elements that come with a 162-game season. That's not something that you being in the clubhouse every day would advocate for. That's something a computer would spit out. That, to me, says that analytically speaking, you're building this lineup and completely ignoring the way that players are going to feel and the way that momentum and consistency positively impact Major League Baseball players.
People forget about the human element of baseball.
It's all the time.
You can't really look at a screen in regards to that. And I think that calling up Roman Anthony would solve at least one of these problems. But then you have so many players that you have to feel obligated to play. And it's a weird situation that the Sox are in right now.
Well, that's a great point, because you shouldn't feel obligated to play these players. I don't get why, like, do all these players have dirt on Alex Cora and Craig Breslow? Like, what is it about Trevor Story and David Hamilton and Rob Refsnyder? All these guys that I'm sure are great guys. I'm sure they're fantastic individuals. I'd love to get a beer with all of them, and they can tell me why I'm wrong. But why do you feel beholden to have to play these players? If you came out, Jacob, today, called up Roman Anthony, stuck him in left field, and you told me that your lineup for the next 7 days was, and I'm going to keep Trevor Story in this just for the time being, but let's even take this a step further and say Alex Bregman got his three wishes from his genie and he's back today. And your lineup was Anthony, Duran, Abreu, Bregman, Meyer, Campbell, whoever at first base, with Narvaez as your catcher and Devers as your DH. And you just left it there. Do you know how many problems that solves? Throw the ball over at first base. At that point, it doesn't matter. Throw Romy, my homie, Gonzalez over there. Because at this point, you are filling in at first base. You didn't have a backup plan, and we just have to accept that at this point.
Who's your center fielder in that situation?
Duran. I also forgot Christian Campbell, and I apologize for that. So let's put Campbell back at second base then, because you said that the first base experiment's now done. If Rafaela goes somewhere, let's throw Rafaela at short then. Take I don't, like, there are so many different ways that you can just, you have a couple tough decisions you have to make. Lucas Giolito, Walker Buehler, Trevor Story. These guys that you continue to trot out there despite not deserving it. You can settle on a lineup that gives you hope, that shows me that your future is bright, and it's really not that far away.
And with this, the way the season's going right now, it looks like it may be a lost season for the Red Sox. You might as well play the kids.
That's
you
what I'm
might
saying.
As well.
That's
it's
what I'm
like
saying.
It's like ridiculous that Trevor Story is getting so many at-bats right now.
I don't know. I feel like I get one show a week. I do a Sunday show from 10 until either the Red Sox or 1 o'clock, whenever they tell me to shut the hell up and go home. And I feel like every single week, Jacob, I come in and I say varying versions of the same thing. And it's not due to lack of originality, I promise you. I want to talk about a million and one different things. But every single week, we come back with varying degrees of the same question about this team. It's, what's the plan and why are you doing what you're doing? When clearly, it seems like you're not valuing putting the most talented 26 players on your roster, in your lineup, in your rotation, and in your bullpen on any given day. And I just cannot sit idly by and go, well, there you go. Them's the breaks. There's always 2026. I've been saying that since 2022. I've been saying, oh, maybe there's next year. Oh, well, Dylan Cease is a free agent next year. Oh, well, I said the same thing for Juan Soto and said the same thing for Alex Bregman and said the same thing for a million and one players that you've been interested in. And I've been saying the same thing now for Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell, and Tristan Casas, and Bobby Dalbec, and all these other prospects that stink. No disrespect to the current guys. They're fantastic, and I'd love to see them every single day. I'm just sick of sitting here and saying the same thing about this team and not knowing why I'm saying it. Not knowing if it's because Henry doesn't want to spend, or Breslow doesn't know how to run this team, or Cora's checked out, or Bailey doesn't know what he's doing, or Fatsy doesn't know what he's doing, or the players just stink. Or there's some bad, or there could be a bad curse from the Mookie Betts trade, and that's why this is happening for all I know. It just continues to happen, and I don't understand it. 617-779-7937. Hope you're having a great Sunday. We'll be back after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.